All right, let's leave Garga Rinpoche and come on to Chajul Sangye Dorje. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe not. I met him in 1956 when he was spending a few days in Kalimpong. A Sikkimese friend of mine, who was a staunch follower of Nyingma Pa Buddhism, urged me to go and meet him. He was a very famous Lama indeed. Even though he wasn't very old, he was only about 35 at the time, and he was not a tukku, he was not an incarnate Lama. And he had quite a reputation for eccentric behavior and eccentric utterances. He was a follower of the Nyingma Pa tradition, but he wasn't a monk, though he lived very much like a monk, at least at that time. And when I asked this friend of mine, you know, whether he was a monk, the friend said, well, he may be a samanera, that's a novice monk. He didn't wear monastic robes, he wore a sort of old red cloak lined with sheepskin and not much else. And he had a very unprepossessing appearance. I must say, he was the ugliest of my teachers. A very unattractive appearance, no charisma. If you passed him in the bazaar, you'd think he was some sort of, you know, muleteer or small shopkeeper or even a cutthroat of some kind. He didn't look at all attractive. Anyway, I'd for some time been thinking that I should ask for a tantric initiation. My reason for doing that is a long story which I'm not going to tell now. And I thought, well, I couldn't perhaps find a better person than him. There were very few incarnate lamas around in Kalimpong at that time. So I asked him for an initiation, and he said, come back the following day. And I came back the following day, and after a little discussion, he said, I'm going to give you the Green Tara initiation. He said, many great pundits of Indian Tibet have done this practice. So what he meant by that, I wasn't quite sure. But anyway, he gave me this Green Tara practice, explained it, and that's one of the practices I've done ever since. And thereafter, I met him quite a number of times. It wasn't easy to meet him because he was always wandering about. He wouldn't tell anyone what his movements were going to be. He just up and off, never took anything with him. And it was altogether quite a strange, mysterious character. I remember once I was with him in Darjeeling, and he'd just been to Nepal, and he'd been visiting ancient stupas. And he told me that when he came to one of these stupas, he'd put his hand right inside, and he'd pulled out a handful of ribbus, which are sort of relics in the form of very tiny pearls. Put his hand in it, pulled out a handful of ribbus, and he opened the hand and said, here we are, and there were the ribbus. And I looked at them, and I said, yes, this is what I found. He was talking about these ribbus, but in a strange way that I couldn't understand at all, but evidently trying to communicate some thing. It was also he who named the Triyana Varadhana Vihara, which I acquired shortly afterwards. He actually named it before I got it, before I even knew I was going to get it. He told me, you're going to have a Vihara, and I shall give it a name. And at that stage, I didn't know I was going to have a Vihara. I certainly didn't have the money for a Vihara. But he said, you're going to have a Vihara, and this is what you should call it, Triyana Varadhana Vihara. And he composed and wrote down a little verse for me, in the course of which he gave the Vihara its name, Triyana Varadhana Vihara, in Tibetan. He is, by the way, still alive, though it's very difficult to keep track of him. One or two of our friends have sighted him, but he's very elusive. He's always wandering. He's no longer a monk, if he ever was one. He's married. In fact, he has two wives, all three living together, apparently, or moving around together. And one of the people he met, or who met him some years ago, was Thomas Merton. You might have heard of Thomas Merton. And Thomas Merton has written that of all the lamas he met in India, and he met quite a few, including Dalai Lama, Churchill Sangye Dorje impressed him most. And he certainly was, despite his unprepossessing appearance, a very remarkable man. One felt there was sort of depth in him that were very difficult to fathom. So he also was one of my teachers, what still is.